Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the stories of the prophets are a source of great strength and comfort for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it's important for all of us to learn and reflect on these stories and derive the lessons, the strength, and spirituality from the stories of these great and noble prophets that Allah has given to us in the Quran. Therefore, I'm very pleased to share with you the series that I delivered in the Qalam Masjid, on the Qalam campus, all throughout the month of Ramadan 2024, corresponding to 1445 after Hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit for all of us. Please enjoy the series. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, continuing with our series here in the month of Ramadan, the stories of the prophets from the Quran. And we try to extract different practical lessons that we can live by from these various stories of the prophets that Allah has given to us in the Quran. Today we're going to be talking about another pair of prophets, father and son once again, and that is the prophets Zakariya and Yahya alayhim as-salam. And once again, while we will talk about both Zakariya and Yahya alayhim as-salam, the lesson and the moral of the story will be more inclined towards and speaking about Zakariya alayhi as-salam. The prophets Zakariya and Yahya alayhim as-salam are from the prophets of Bani Israel. They are again from that same lineage of prophets that came from the progeny of the prophet Ya'qub alayhi as-salam. And specifically, Zakariya and Yahya alayhim as-salam, they were both residents of Baytul Maqdis, Al-Quds, Jerusalem, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And Zakariya alayhi salam was, of course, the Prophet of Allah, the leader of his people, the leader of his community, and the Imam of the believers at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And Zakariya alayhi salam had served the deen, he had served the community, he had served the masjid, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Al-Quds, his entire life. And he had built this entire community there at Baytul Maqdis. And as he reached into his twilight, his old age, he was very concerned about the community that he would leave behind. He was worried about the state of affairs of the community and who would lead the community going forward. And while he personally had also longed for a child for his entire life, him and his wife both had prayed for children and longed for a child. And he accepted that this was not from the will and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they would have children. But now it wasn't just a personal thing that he wanted children, but he was also worried about who would be there for the community after he was gone. Because the kind of tarbiyah, the kind of upbringing and the tutelage and the mentoring and the educating that one can provide for their own child, it is extremely difficult and sometimes very, you know, it's borderline improbable to be able to do that with someone else. Because obviously, if you are trying to teach and mentor and train someone else, that is somebody else's child. And there are those conflicting priorities that are there. But if it is someone's own child, then you are able to raise them and train them and mentor them for a very specific purpose and mission. So in light of that, Zakariya alayhi salam had his own personal longing for the child. He was also worried about who will lead this community going forward and who will take care of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and the community of the believers. And so as he is in his final, you know, years of his life, he's elderly at this point. He has spent an entire lifetime serving Allah, serving the deen, serving the masjid, serving the community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us his story. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us his story in a few different places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it in Surah Ali Imran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us his story in Surah Maryam. And I'll be sharing the verses from Surah Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins in that very powerful, captivating way, the huruf muqatta'at, which only Allah knows the meaning of, but it is captivating nonetheless. Kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad. And then Allah tells us, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is the story of your Lord's mercy upon his beloved servant, Zakariya. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. That he was sitting at night in the masjid by himself. And he called out to his Lord. There's a place actually in Masjid al-Aqsa, in the Aqsa compound, Al-Masjid al-Umari or Al-Masjid al-Qibli. There's a little corner that commemorates this place of the Quran where it's called the Mihrab of Zakariya alayhi salam. Dakhala alayha Zakariya al-Mihrab. So it talks about Zakariya alayhi salam making this dua. So he's sitting there in the masjid in the nighttime by himself. And he calls out to Allah, he calls out to his Lord. Nida'an khafiyya. Just it's only him and Allah. This is not for anybody else. No one else is a part of this conversation. And what does he say to Allah? Qala Rabbi. He says, my Lord. And he acknowledges, oh Allah, you're my Rabb. You created me. You provide for me. You sustain me. You nourish me. You have guided me. You take care of me. This appeal that I am about to make is in no way ingratitude. So he acknowledges all of Allah's blessings upon him. Rabbi, my Lord. Inni wahana al-azmu minni wash'ala ar-ra'su shayba. He says, my Lord, my bones are crumbling. I feel my age in my bones now. وَشَّعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. My hair has gone white. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. However, you have never disappointed me. The moral that we're extracting today, the lesson for today's story, is dua, simply put. Dua can be translated as supplication, invocation, talking to Allah, asking Allah, begging Allah. Dua. How do we do it? What does it look like? What is the optimal way of making this dua to Allah? Because we talk about it all the time. We request each other for duas. We talk about it all the time. We think about it all the time. We're trying to figure it out constantly. So Allah gives us the blueprint of how to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does true supplication, invocation before Allah look like? Number one, Rabbi, acknowledge Allah's blessings. Always. And again, this is something I've said numerous times in the various lectures and talks. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing compares to Allah. Nothing compares to Allah. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مَثَلًا. Allah gives you different examples. Why? كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah gives examples to facilitate understanding for people. So examples can be helpful because it helps unlock our understanding, but the example should never be understood to be a direct equivalent of what we are talking about. So nothing compares to Allah. But as an example, if this brother has done a favor upon me previously, and I need to go and ask this brother for a favor again, what makes it more likely, and at the very least, what shows good character on my part, is that when I go and I sit with him, when I approach him, when I talk to him, I will begin by first enumerating, by first stating that I remember and I appreciate and I am grateful for the favor he did upon me previously. That will put me, that just shows exactly who I am. And that demonstrates what my character and my quality is as a person. So here, the blueprint of dua is always begin by first thanking Allah for His blessings. Rabbi, You have blessed me. Everything I am, everything I have is only and solely from You, O Allah. Rabbi. Then, number two, we need to learn to be humble, vulnerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spend so much of our time having our guard up. We spend so much of our time in the egotistical kind of dealings and interactions and transactions and confrontations that we have with people all around us, that sometimes even when we go to talk to Allah, we forget who we're talking to. We have trouble turning that off. But Allah says, اُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا. تَضَرُّعًا. Grovel before your Lord. Beg before your Lord. Cry, beg, grovel. Humble yourself. And so look what he says. إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي. My bones are falling apart. I'm old. وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. My hair has gone all white. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. But number three, again, then come back to stating Allah's favor upon you. So to make sure that it doesn't get to the point where now I'm just complaining for the sake of complaining. The purpose was to share my desperation before Allah. But then come back to saying, Oh Allah, I have never regretted making dua to you. You have never disappointed me. You have never let me down. And then present the need before Allah. He says, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. I've built this entire community of believers to worship you, O Allah. But I'm afraid of the people that I will leave in charge after me. I'm not confident in them. وَكَانَتْ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. And my wife was unable to bear children. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. But please grant me a son, an inheritor as a gift. As a gift. The next part of making dua is understand nothing is outside the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stop hedging your du'as. Stop. We do that too often. Oh, but you know, I don't want to be crazy. I don't want to be outlandish, outrageous. That hedging of our du'as when we're talking to Allah, that is what is outrageous and outlandish. Because you're talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're talking to the one who created us from nothing. وَلَمْ تَكُوا شَيْئًا. You were nothing, Allah says. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He says, be and it is. And then you're hedging? You hedge when you talk to a person. But here with Allah. So he says, "Oh Allah, I am old. And my wife was unable to bear children even when we were young. But I'm still asking you for a child. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ." There's one more step that is kind of tough. And this requires putting in a little bit of work before the dua. Spend a little time, reflect on what I'm asking, and why I'm asking for what I'm asking. Like, why am I asking for this thing? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask. Udu'uni, ask me. Astajib lakum. I'll give it to you. But you got to ask. But it behooves us, it's good for us, to put a little bit of thought and exercise into, why am I asking for this? What do I want? Why do I want it? And look what Zakariya alayhi salam teaches us. It's sometimes just the switching of the intention. It really is that easy. An-niyatu amalul qalb. It's in the heart. It doesn't even have to get to the tongue. It's just inside the heart. But Zakariya alayhi salam says, this son, of course I will love him, and I will cherish him, and I will raise him, I will love him with all my heart, I will enjoy him, of course. But, oh Allah, I'm switching my intention. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. My intention is that he will follow in my footsteps in terms of prophethood, and that he will inherit from the great prophets that I come from. That my primary intention will be that he will be a devout servant to you. وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا. He will be pleasing to you, he will serve you, he will obey you, he will implement your will upon this earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that you get all the other tertiary benefits anyways. You get all the other benefits anyways. Of course. You're going to love this child and you're going to hug him and kiss him and raise him and play with him and enjoy him and watch him and all of those things. You're going to get all those benefits out of it, but you just switch the intention. And that makes all the difference in the world. That's what the Prophet ﷺ taught us to do. You're about to eat food. Bismillah wa ala barakatillah. That this is the blessing of Allah, and I will eat this so that I can strengthen myself and worship my Lord. I'm about to go to sleep. Allahumma, bismika Allahumma amutu ahya. In the name of Allah, O Allah, I go to sleep. That I will get rest and I will wake up and I will worship my Lord. And I'll get all the benefits out of it, but now think about how profound this act becomes. So he makes his dua to Allah, and he leaves it in the hands of Allah. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Ya Zakariya. Allah talks to Zakariya alayhi salam. Ya Zakariya. Inna nubashiruka bi ghulam. Congratulations, you're going to have a son. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala shares one narration that says Zakariya alayhi salam was 70 years old. He shares another narration that says that he was 90 years old. He shares another narration that says he was 100 years old at this time. You're going to have a son. Ismuhu Yahya. And you know that sense of honor? Like if someone very respected, beloved, esteemed names your child? Allah named Zakariya's child. Allah named his child. Allah told him his name will be Yahya. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيَّا. The world will never have seen anyone like him before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place in the Quran, Sayyidan wa hasuran wa nabiyyan min as-salihin. He will be a leader of his people. He will be so dignified and honorable and modest in his behavior. Wa nabiyyan min as-salihin. And he will be a righteous prophet of God. Qala Rabbi. When you're talking to Allah, you can talk openly. He doesn't doubt. But he wants to understand the magnitude of Allah's blessing. My Lord, how can I have a son? وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا وَقَدْ بَلَغْتُ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ عِتِيًّا. My wife couldn't bear children when she was young. And now we're so old, elderly. How can we have a child? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ. Just like that. It's done. How can you? It's done. قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيْكَ هَيِّن. This is, we don't even say it's easy for Allah, because for something to be easy, something else has to be difficult. It's all, everything is just a command away from existing. هُوَ عَلَيْكَ هَيِّن. Simple. وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Where did you come from? وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا. When you didn't exist previously. So, this is the lesson of dua. How to talk to Allah. And the outcome, the results, those are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in an authentic narration, مَا مِنْ مُسْلِمٍ يَدْعُو بِدَعْوَةٍ. Every single believer that makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, sincerely, Allah answers their prayer. How? One of three ways. Number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to that person whatever they're asking for. Number two, and يَدَّخِرَهَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Or Allah says, you know what? It's not good for you here. I'm going to forward it for you to the Akhirah. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala said, when a person will get to the hereafter, when a person will get to paradise, and they will see all their du'as that were forwarded from the dunya to the Akhirah, in that moment, he says, the only thing a person will regret in paradise is, I wish all of my du'as would have been forwarded to the Akhirah. And number three, or we're foolish creatures. We're hasty, we're ignorant. We're foolish, Allah tells us. So sometimes we're not asking for what we should be asking for. Allah is so kind and so generous. We make a dua. I'm sitting here, I should be praying for the health of my children. But random example, let's say I'm sitting here making dua for a Corvette. Random example. Completely random. All right? What years? Look at this guy. Tempting me, right? So I'm sitting here making for some car when I should be praying for the health and the well-being and the iman of my children, right? I'm a father. That's my job. That's my responsibility. I should be making dua for my children. I'm sitting here making dua for a car. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, Allah will convert my silly dua for a car into the health and the well-being of my children. And that is the promise of Allah. But Allah says, every dua will be answered. But we have to ask. We have to ask. We have to beg. And I'll conclude with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Whenever my servants ask you about me, then Allah responds Himself and He says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. You don't have to ask about me, I'm right here. And He says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. It's a noun. In the Arabic language, a noun has permanence. I've always been here. I am here. And I will always be here. The next part of the ayah, Allah says, Ujibu. I always answer. Da'wa, ad-da'i, idha da'ani. You can hear it in the Arabic, the repetition. Da'wa, da'i, idha da'ani. The call of the caller whenever he or she calls me. And that kind of repetition gives emphasis. Allah is saying, call. Call out to me, Allah is saying. The delay is not on the part of Allah, the delay is on our part. We forget to call. We forget to raise our hands. We forget to make dua. We forget to talk to Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, call out to me, pray to me, make dua to me. And I will always take care of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts and allow us to make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our du'as during these blessed nights of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to never be deprived of talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.